Well, I'm not part of PodConf. You're part of PodConf.
If I'm part of PodConf, you're part of PodConf. Okay.
You're clearly not reading their literature. You're an approved podcaster. I'm not.
I'm not going to take it up with them.
I don't own that.
I'm not part of PodConf.
Apparently, you are.
Do you see me like with the mic on stage at conferences, introducing Michael Saylor as he's about to tell you to put your identity on the blockchain? I don't do that.
I have that on the list, but all I'll say is like.
When people ask me why I am such a passionate advocate for compliance, the answer is simple. The struggle for survival, the struggle to secure your life and your property and your family, that used to be for most of human history, a 24/7, 365 day job. But thanks to compliance, and thanks to the invention of taxes, now people only have to work 4 to 6 months out of the year in order to afford security and safety. This is a revolution of energy conservation. This is a revolution of human flourishing and productivity. And this is all thanks to compliance.
It looks like Nico is not reading enough Bitcoin Bugle.
Wait. No, bro. Last time I read a Bitcoin Bugle article, he said that Elon Musk was... Elon Musk got all the Bitcoiner wives pregnant.
Oh, shit.
So.
Yeah, that was a good one.
All right. Anyways.
However, silver linings always appear. Sometimes they appear in the form of humor. The Bitcoin Bugle is a satire, or has come out as a pretty good satire website about Bitcoin stories.
So you're saying the proper way to address British people is to refer to them as fags or faggots?
I would say faggots. Yeah, I wouldn't necessarily say faggots, but I would say like fags, especially for like the more compliant British Bitcoiners.
Fellas, I don't know too much about this situation, Karkam, but you're closer to it. Maybe you do. But our boy is being hit with a lawsuit. Our boy Bitcoin Audible Guy Swan, he's being hit with a lawsuit for ADA compliance. Did you hear about this?
Wait, no. For what?
Oh, dude.
ADA, he's like being... Americans with Disabilities Act?
I'm just going to read the article from the Bitcoin Bugle, just in the way that he would do. In a surprising twist in the world of Bitcoin podcasts, Bitcoin Audible, helmed by the popular host Guy Swan, was served with a lawsuit on Friday. The plaintiff? A deaf fan who's taking the podcasting world to task for lack of ADA compliance.
I meant to say the Bitcoin Bugle is the most accurate, on-point journalism in the Bitcoin world.
Without doubt, it's probably not even outside of the Bitcoin world, it's the most accurate.
Yeah. Trusted news source.
Today I'm pleased to be joined by the host of the most thermodynamically sound podcast in existence, Richard Dick Reeser and Rod Palmer from the Bitcoin Bugle.
This is Richard Reeser. And today, Rod is not joining me. I'm just doing it by myself. Rod is enjoying a well-deserved vacation. Very grateful for Rod. We've done quite a bit over the last year. So this is the 41st episode of the Bugle Weekly. And I would argue this has been one of the most prolific Bitcoin podcasts ever created. It's actually been really incredible. So over the last few days, I've gone through a lot of old episodes and, you know, listened to clips that people have created for us on Fountain. And yeah, we've just been on the ball. We have been leading the charge ahead of everybody else. And it really shows. So just the other day, Maggie Morris, one of our great reporters at the Bugle, one of our newer reporters at the Bugle, did an absolutely incredible article on Michael Saylor's 100K party, criticizing all the poor fashion choices that the Bitcoiners made at the party. I don't really want to rail them too hard. I just don't understand. Like, this is one of the problems when you have communities of people that aren't properly credentialed. But is that they just don't know how to dress. They don't know how to dress. They didn't go to the Ivy Leagues to, yeah. And as a result of not going to the Ivy Leagues and not having learned how to dress stylishly, they might be less likely to work for the CIA. Or that might just be a cover. That might be a cover. We all know that the Ivy Leagues are just recruitment centers for the intelligence agencies. You go to an Ivy League school, you get some of the best credentials in the world, and CIA and the NSA and, you know, Wall Street, which, you know, is kind of similar to the CIA and the NSA and all these intelligence agencies. There's so much overlap. It's unbelievable. They want to give you a job right off the bat because they're like, wow, this person has credentials. They went to the Ivy Leagues. They know how to dress well. But, you know, in the world of Bitcoin podcasting, it's a little bit differently. You can't get credentials to be a Bitcoin podcaster at an Ivy League school. And so that's created this, you know, kind of asymmetry when it comes to recruiting for intelligence agencies. So what they're attempting to do right now is they're trying to take credentialed people and turn them into Bitcoin podcasters. And that was a big part of what the 100K party was, is you had a lot of people there that were longtime Bitcoin podcasters, and then you had some new Bitcoin podcasters. And one of the most notable criticisms that we got of Maggie's excellent reporting on the subject was that Matt Pellegrino guy, the guy that's named after that Italian soda water, he called us Russian propaganda. And that was a very big moment for our news agency. It's almost like a rite of passage in the world of news, is if you tell the truth, you call out the intelligence agencies, somebody at some point is going to call you Russian propaganda. And I think it's done, one, to try and discredit people. Because as we know, the Russian intelligence agencies are just as bad, if not worse, than the U.S. intelligence agencies. They have an edge in the area of brutality and psychopathy in some places. And I know that makes CIA agents a little bit uncomfortable, but that's okay. We have no problem with making CIA agents uncomfortable by telling them they're not the most psychopathic group of individuals in the world. They might be number two. But anyways, these individuals like to call people Russian intelligence because they just don't know what else to do. In the world of media, in the world of intelligence, it's kind of like calling somebody a racist, you know, telling them that they're Russian intelligence. Just like anything you don't like, you just say they're KGB. So anyways, I want to thank Matt Pellegrino, the Italian soda water guy, for giving us that moment of experiencing that rite of passage, you know, right on the cusp of the new year. And as a result, I expect this upcoming year to be absolutely, absolutely incredible. Looking forward to it. But yeah, for this episode today, I just want to kind of go back through some of the old episodes. So I compiled a bunch of clips. I'm going to talk about the music that we've done. That was a big development for the Bugle this year, is our groundbreaking entrance into music. And I expect over the next year, in 2025, we're going to accomplish a lot of things. We're going to see these crazy developments in our skill sets, in the talent that we attract to our news agency. The memes are going to get better. But first, before we look ahead, let's look at the past. Let's look at all the important things that we have accomplished over the past year. And yeah, I'll start by just playing a handful of these clips from old episodes. If you want to know the future, you better well listen. Lynn Alden is hot nose macro and her black hair glistens.
When you got the looks and the brains and the and you mix in the macro, that is a, it's kind of like a, I don't know, like a sin magnet.
I mean, I find it hard for myself not to simp for her. She's kind of a babe. Like, I didn't realize how much she was a babe she was until she notified the world that she does indeed have a left ear.
Yeah. That was a good story. I didn't think we ever see that. It's kind of like the show Home Improvement back in the 90s with Tim Allen. It was like Wilson, you ever saw him, his face, he's always behind the gate. I just never thought we'd see that ear.
I didn't think it existed. I mean, there's many things, you know, that are kind of like out there in the lore that I think we're kind of conditioned to believe in could be real, but like, because they're so mythical. So like, you know, some examples of this include like Atlantis or El Dorado. And I would say Lynn Alden's left ear, you know, kind of falls into the same category as like these mythical ancient sites that are
If you have an ear fetish, man, that's like the Ark of the Covenant.
Well, yeah, so the Bugle, I consider myself the John Galt of journalism, and I'm pretty confident that your audience knows who John Galt is. They're probably, you know, living life in a way that is pretty base. They're probably listening to Bitcoin podcasts on occasion or frequently, and reading Atlas Shrugged once a year. So, you know, most journalists out there living on a fiat standard. They're employed by the CIA. They haven't listened to Bitcoin podcasts. They don't think Lynn Alden's hot. And if you don't know who Lynn Alden is, she is smoking hot. She's a Bitcoin macro commentator.
One of the things you talked about, like the servile class, it relies so much on, you know, or all of society in general, but relies on journalists. Like, we watch TV, we read the newspaper, and they tell us how to think. They tell us what's going on in the news. They tell us what's going on in the economy. They tell us what's going on in Israel and Ukraine. And that is what they say is gospel. It is the truth. And like, that is what we rely on to make our decisions. And they started to lose our trust. And people have started to migrate to podcasts, especially Bitcoin podcasts.
Yeah, I mean, I think we definitely need more Bitcoin podcasts, but I think we also need a lot more libertarian podcasts. And it's pretty obvious that libertarian podcasts are pushing the envelope, because the libertarian superhero Ron Paul is going to be a part of the Trump administration, and I would say that that's only the
a result of podcasts.
Oh yeah, 100%.
But Larkin Rose is still having to post booty pics of his wife on his YouTube thumbnails to get any sort of engagement, which kind of shows that there's still a lot of room to be done in the libertarian podcasting world.
What are the Bugle's views on Lynn Alden? Does she actually have two ears? Tell us about Lynn Alden, kind of the most important things about her.
Well, I think the most important thing about her is she's hot. I don't know why this is a controversial subject in the little ecosystem that we're in, but, you know, lots of people like to dispute the fact that Lynn is hot. And right. I think it just can be explained as they're homosexuals who don't find attractive women attractive.
Think about it like this. If you were hanging out with your buddy and his wife said that she wanted to set you up with her friend, Katie, and you asked, like, well, tell me about Katie. And she's like, well, she's really funny. She has a good job. You know, she's really down to earth, has a good sense of humor. I'm going to start to think, oh, shit, Katie is fat and ugly. But then I might still go through with it that I meet her and, like, and she's hot. I'm like, oh, my God. Like, next time I ask you that question, just tell me the important information. It's, is your friend hot or not, right? So it's like, if you want me to tell you about Lynn Alden, I'm going to tell you that she's hot. And you can find out the rest of her personality later if that's what interests you, but like, she's hot. So,
hey, how many sats would you pay for a picture of Dennis Porter in the act of orange pilling AOC?
I would love to see that. I think that I would probably pay 1,000,000 sats. Or a picture or a video even of Dennis Porter orange pilling AOC, and AOC's husband is in the room watching his wife be orange pilled by another man.
You say 1,000,000? I'd probably pay 10 million sats for that. That would be a pretty epic video.
If that's a video, it was out there, I would empty my cold storage.
Yeah, I mean, because that's a pretty pivotal moment in American politics, right there, is Dennis Porter convincing the leaders behind the Green New Deal of the merits of Bitcoin.
If you want to orange pill somebody, especially, you know, a married woman, gotta be a bull. That's what they need. They need bulls. Woo, bulls for NGU.
Yeah.
That's why Bitcoin fixes journalism.
Well, yeah. It's kind of funny because, like, you know, my alcoholism is what led me to starting the Bugle. And the Bugle, you know, thanks to everybody that's been involved with it, you know, has had a massive shift in the journalistic industry as a whole, making it significantly more cypherpunk. And so I think it's probably safe to say that alcoholism has made the institution of journalism the fourth estate more cypher.
That's huge news, because now fourth estate, that's like that means the cypherpunk is mainstream officially.
Yeah, well, it's getting there. You know, there's still, you know, the intellectual Silk Road is not, unfortunately, the mainstream zeitgeist. It's part of this fringe group that is, you know, quickly growing and setting the example. And, like, if you've listened to Alex Fetsky, you've probably heard of this meme called The Remnant. Essentially, we're the remnant. We're taking over this bitch and, you know, completely just gutting the industry and redesigning it as with cypherpunk principles.
Exactly. It's the really the secret lurking elite in every society that really controls them. So having that small secret, that this very elite group, the elitist of the, it's like the delta force of influencers, the secret, you know, covert ops of influence. They're really the ones that set the agenda. So mm-hmm. it just takes time for that influence to like percolate through the rest of the community.
Yeah, I don't like, we need a better, like, better special forces to pull from than like the SEAL Team 6 because of their legacy being, you know, just doing a lot of stuff that's, you know, for the non-compliant U.S. government. They have a lot of involvement with the CIA, you know, working directly with them as all special forces do. I can see that like falling under, I'm really nitpicking, so I don't want to, I hope you don't feel like I'm discounting anything that you're saying. I'm just nitpicking on the semantics of the argument, but,
Oh, yeah, sorry, it's, I understand what you're saying. I hate to use any sort of status reference, but if there was a private version, a more sovereign version, I guess I would pick them.
Yeah. Well, I think we should research Blackwater a little bit more.
Oh, yeah.
They probably had some sort of special forces team within.
Yeah, their... Blackwater was like an open source special team unit.
Yeah. And there's also that one in Russia. I forgot what they were called. That private military force.
Wagner Group.
I never really understand why they chose the name Wagner, because that's based off of the German musician that was really popular back in the day.
That's a good... I never thought of that before, but that is a really weird name for a Russian free market military.
This is the Bugle Weekly Podcast on Fountain
FM.
The number one bull market Bitcoin podcast.
The hottest news stories of the week.
All the best bangers from Bugle music.
And so much more. The Bugle does the thinking so you don't have to. So sit back, smoke a cigarette, and enjoy this week's episode.
So one of the biggest transitions that happened in 2024 is that we went from a Bitcoin bear market to a Bitcoin bull market. And the transition has been pretty dramatic. Just this morning, I'm recording Monday morning, a little bit behind schedule here. Just this morning, Bitcoin went above 100K again. Yellow was able to retire from the Don't Stop Believing Twitter spaces. Absolutely monumental. And as a news agency, we felt it was really important to do some bullish music. It's one thing that you need when you're engaging in psychological warfare against the spirit. You need to dominate the culture, right? And music's such a big part of that. Music's the way that you really speak to people in creative ways. And we want people to feel bullish. We want people to smoke cigarettes. We want people to drive drunk. We want people to ultimately use their brains and let credential journalists like us do the thinking for you instead of the other CIA employed credential journalist. Like that's what using your brain allows you to do, is it allows you to curate a good group of individuals to do the thinking for you. And
And music's been a big part of that. It's been a big part of reaching new audiences, shifting culture, and getting people super bullish about Bitcoin and about using Bitcoin. So I'm just going to do some highlights of some of our more bullish songs getting ready for this upcoming Bitcoin bull market. We're setting the groundwork to dominate it. And the music stuff we're doing is just getting started. This is just the very, very beginnings of where we're going to go with this. But yeah, here's some clips.
Money Ben says this time is different. Bitcoin has won and it is magnificent. Governments are buying, so why aren't you? Don't you wanna be rich and cool?
Try to tune out all the bullshit. This will all be over soon. Once you hear the horn, next stop is the moon. We're digital cowboys. We've got one horse portfolios. The bull market is our digital orange pill rodeo. Oh, the bull will try to buck you. So never lose your grip and never miss your chance to buy the dip. On KYC cigarettes on our front porch. All across the country, the people are awakening. Politicians are quivering and shaking. They fear a population that is not docile. They are afraid, so they will act hostile. But do not lose hope. The revolution is happening. The answer to 1984 is becoming a celebrated. Knows this battle can't be won fast. There's no going back, only destiny awaits. Prepare for the battles that determine our fate. We can build the citadels when we reach our destination. But Dennis Porter is our only hope for hyper-Bitcoinization. Orange telling the world is a marathon, not a sprint.
Since we started making music, Rod and I have been dominating Wavelake, and I gotta say, Wavelake is a really cool platform. It is very cool. Excuse me. It is very cool for musicians to be able to earn cigarette money in Bitcoin, and it gives them the opportunity to be non-compliant. Which is huge. You know, people need the choice. This is one of the wonderful things about Bitcoin, is it gives people the choice whether they're going to be compliant or not. Whereas if you're operating in the fiat system, your only choice, ultimately, for the most part, unless you have the money laundering capabilities of the intelligence agencies, is compliant. And one thing that we've seen over the last few years is that individuals need the choice to be non-compliant. Because when governments around the world have a monopoly on non-compliance, it really creates an issue of a balance of power. And anyways, our music is non-compliant. Our journalism is non-compliant. One of the, you know, cardinal rules of being a credentialed journalist is you don't critique the intelligence agencies, because the intelligence agencies have dirt on all the journalists. They got the journalists to go to the Diddy parties. They got them to do compromising things at Saylor's 100K party. And, you know, even if you are a moral person, a moral journalist, the sophistication of the CIA to undermine your credibility and to get you to comply with their non-compliance is just absolutely incredible. And the way that we counteract that is we give normal individuals the tools to circumvent the compliance ecosystem altogether, which is why Bitcoin is incredibly interesting. Bitcoin has enabled journalistic non-compliance pretty much from the very beginning. Like, one of the most noteworthy uses of Bitcoin in the beginning was funding non-compliant journalists at WikiLeaks. Julian Assange was a cypherpunk. He was a very non-compliant cypherpunk. And Matt Pellegrino probably has the opinion that Assange was also a Russian asset. So being called that, you know, feels good. It feels like we're being compared to Julian Assange in WikiLeaks. That people are recognizing our commitment to non-compliant journalism. It's very exciting. But yeah, I look forward to what we do with the music over the next year. One of my very favorite things that happened this year was a Nostr user actually learned one of my songs on guitar. I'll play that, just a clip of it real quick. And then we'll get talking about a different topic. But yeah, listen to this shit. If you're a musician, one of the things that you could really do to help support our non-compliant music and our non-compliant journalism is go play our music. If you're performing at concerts or at bars or whatever, go ahead, play our music. If you have a channel on YouTube or whatever, play our music. If you got a Twitter or Nostr profile, take a video of yourself playing our music. It really helps get it circulating, and it's just super cool. But yeah, check this out. By ushering in a new freedom that will last, adopting a mindset that the rulers are tools, embracing reality instead of psyops or CIA fools. The future is mine. If you get the chance, head over to Nostr and go search for that video. We repost it with the Bugle account, but the account that did that rendition of my song Noncompliant 1776 goes by the name Horst, Horszt, on Nostr. And yeah, go like the post, go repost it, maybe even zap it. Let's show the world that the compliant music is demanded and needed, and we could change the incentives. We can make music thermodynamically sound. But yeah, the Bugle is much more than memes and music. We are attracting a very talented newsroom. One of the individuals that I wanted to highlight that has been putting in a lot of work, there's Maggie Morris, of course, who did that incredible article about the fashion review at Sailor's 100K party. But there's also another journalist who goes by the name Wayne Kerr, who has been diligently writing articles I'm very, very excited about. Now, the Bugle, like, I like to compare the Bugle to Galt's Gulch, as I truly am the John Galt of journalism. And the Bugle is Galt's Gulch, essentially. It's Greaser's Gulch. It is a place for people that have been worn down by the looters, by the demoralizers, by the intelligence agencies, to essentially find an escape and be able to use a creative outlet to report news stories in a way that other people aren't willing to publish them. And to tell the truth, to really, really tell the truth in a world where telling the truth is a non-compliant activity. That's one of the things I really look forward to the year of 2025, is we're going to continue to grow. We're going to continue to build out. We're going to attract very talented, smart individuals. The more that we're supported, the more that we can grow, the more that we can grow our reach, the more that we can dominate this ecosystem. And I fully planned on it. The bar is incredibly low. The people we're competing with are alcoholics. Their livers are dying. They have sold their souls long ago. They have no morals. They have no standards. They have no creativity. They would consider working at Disney. Like that's how uncreative they are. And they probably fit in well. You know, these are the people that support smoking bans and have horrible hormone disorders. Like they have no testosterone, no courage to stand up, no courage to tell truth. That's our competition. And we are going to run laps around them and dominate them this cycle. The only thing that they know how to do is to advocate for violence. They will never be able to debate things on their merits, because if they even enter into the debate, people are going to realize they're a bunch of psychopaths that suck. But one thing I know is people are hungry. People are hungry for something better. People want individuals that smoke a lot of cigarettes, have brains and self-respect, out there beating the drum of freedom and just like the valuing human dignity. And we're prepared to do that. We have no idea what's going to happen in 2025. I think there's some predictions that we can make. Bitcoin's going to go up, obviously. Tether's going to be popular. Influencers are going to shill. There's going to be rug pulls. There's going to be shit coining. There's going to be a lot of nonsense. That's one thing that's guaranteed. There's individuals that want to start wars. They want to rip you out of your comfortable life and throw you onto the front lines of a war that you have no business fighting, for whatever their machinations are. You know, the bankers need to fund wars on both sides. And in order to fund wars on both sides, they first need to start the war, right? And they need to support the war. Because if you don't support the war, they're not going to be able to get away with, you know, continuing to sustain the war and print money to fight it. And the only way for, you know, individuals like you to know enough to not support the war is to not be pussies and to not smoke cigarettes, or sorry, to smoke cigarettes, to drop your vape, to quit drinking the fluoride in the water, and, you know, listen to some non-compliant journalists tell you the way the world really works. And I know it's going to be difficult. I know it's going to be very difficult to discern the truth going forward. The levels pseudo spoofing that we're seeing today are only getting exasperated. And the only way to combat it is to pseudo spoof ourselves. We have to be better pseudo spoofers than the people sitting in Langley, Virginia, that have no souls, that hate humanity, that want to ban smoking, and to ensure that no human born in the future has a sentient thought and only thinks what has been pre-programmed for them to think. We have to beat these people. You know, and the way we are going to beat them is we're going to beat them with creativity. We're going to beat them by smoking more cigarettes, by working harder, by sleeping less, by grinding. I'm going to chain myself to a typewriter in 2025. And we're going to absolutely, absolutely kill it. One of the things I'm incredibly excited about coming up here in the near future is we're going to be doing the Bugles, which is essentially, you know, the Oscars for Bitcoin podcasting. This is one of the ways that we build culture and, you know, rip control out of the hands of the intelligence agencies is by doing an award show. Everybody knows that the Oscars is essentially a CIA circle jerk where individuals that are making content for the CIA give themselves awards. The only people that get into those awards are people that have CIA approval. You're not going to get non-compliant content creators winning an Oscar, right? So we just need to do our own award show. And what's much more relevant today than Hollywood, everybody's forgetting about Hollywood. Their movies are bad. You can go back and watch movies from 20 years ago that were great. And the CIA may have been involved with it, but it was better back then. And it's probably because there were more people in Hollywood smoking cigarettes. But ever since the smoking bans in Hollywood came, the CIA created content sucked. Absolutely sucked. So instead of watching Netflix and going to the movie theater and watching, you know, the latest rerun of whatever Disney crap there was, people are listening to Bitcoin podcasts. And that's one of the big shifts that we saw in 2024. We saw this movement, this absolute tsunami of individuals declaring that they were going to listen to 40 hours of Bitcoin podcasts a week. And that's who we're doing the Bugles for. We're doing it for the individuals that have enough conviction to make podcast listening their full-time jobs, to provide for their families, to have the macro knowledge, you know, coming straight out of Lynn Alden's mouth, and be able to translate that into their lives, into, you know, holding their Bitcoin, into spending their Bitcoin wisely, into building out, you know, this circular economy of people actually using Bitcoin, so that we really can eliminate the intelligence agencies' influence over our lives.
Makes a good money.
Some listen for macro analysis.
Yeah, we're so grateful for your analysis, Lynn. And I have to be honest with you.
Every millionaire wanted to have just one Bitcoin. They couldn't do it.
Some listen for price predictions.
Am I right in this that you've forecasted 500 to 700K for Bitcoin?
Some listen for epic rants.
We literally have put our life savings into magic internet money from a man who we don't even fucking know because our governments have failed us so miserably.
And some listen to at least 40 hours per week, regardless of the topic. But there is one night we all listen to find out which Bitcoin podcasts are the most thermodynamically sound.
In hours of your life, maybe 60,000 hours of your life trying to make.
The Bugles, hosted by Richard Greaser and Rod Palmer. Live this January. Subscribe to The Bugle to find out the date and time.
We've made a lot of friends over the past year that I'm really grateful for, or even the past couple of years. But yeah, I mean, one of the most noteworthy friendships that we've made over the years, over the past year, is with Fundamentals from the Rock Paper Bitcoin podcast. He's been on the show a couple times. He has contributed a lot. He's given us a lot of, you know, really helpful feedback, and he's been a big promoter of the Bugle. So I just want to shout out him and say thank you. Our good friends at Ungovernable Misfits have supported us quite a bit as well. Very excited about what they're doing and carrying the banner of noncompliance. They just continue to produce really high quality stuff. It is great. It's very exciting to see what they're up to. Very impressed constantly. Even though Max is British, he's a funny talker. He kind of transcends a lot of stereotypes about British people, about being very compliant, about getting offended, about a lot of things that aren't that offensive, about supporting the regulations, memes. He's not that way at all. And John is just awesome. Absolutely awesome. But yeah, we've made friends with a lot of people, and 2024 was the year of the birth of the intellectual Silk Road. The non-compliant network of individuals essentially transacting in a free market of ideas. And it's been great. Friendship that I made that, you know, I value and I'm excited about this year, the past year, was with Shadrach. Shadrach completely surprised me in Nashville. Just walked up to me, somehow knew who I was, never seen it, and flashed a credential journalist hat and showed me his non-KYC cigarettes. He came already prepared. He didn't need to buy them for me. But that was something that was a lot of fun. We did a lot of non-compliant cigarette transactions in Nashville at Bitcoin Magazine's political conference. There needs to be lots of non-compliant behavior at those conferences because they're so compliant. You have to offset the compliance. We're just trying to get back to zero, instead of being deep into the negative, of being overly compliant. Like having TSA at your conference kind of, you know, fondling you before you are able to listen to your favorite podcaster, that's a pretty high bar of just beta compliant energy that you really need to work hard to offset. Like it's not an easy task to show up and be so non-compliant. So we have to come up with creative ways to do that kind of fit into the non-aggression principle, right? And selling cigarettes peer-to-peer, non-KYC, using non-compliant money is the way to do it. It's one of the ways to do it. Sending non-compliant memes in the group chat, you know, doing all these things. And hanging out with other non-compliant people is the best. And that's something I really enjoyed over the last year. And I really hope to do more so going forward. But yeah, hanging out with Rod Palmer and
and Shadrach and Fundamentals and Mars and, you know, all these really cool people in Nashville was a blast. I don't necessarily suggest everybody goes to a conference, because when you go to a conference, like, you know, one out of every three people there is on the payroll for the CIA, right? And so there's a very high probability of getting doxxed. And so you just have to, you know, take OPSEC into consideration and ask yourself the question, is it worth going there? But as journalists, you know, we are on the front line. We're at the tip of the spear. So we need to be there. And if you so happen to go to these various events, it'd be great to hang out. We'll be around. But yeah, going forward into 2025, like I said earlier, we plan to dominate. Our plans for domination only will play out with the listeners' cooperation. The more you boost us on Fountain, better we rank in the trending. If we were the 11th biggest show on Fountain, so we haven't even been going for a full year. We've only done 41 weeks of episodes in a row. We'll get to 52 soon at some point, but over the past year, we were the 11th biggest show on Fountain in terms of boost. And what that tells me is we have an audience that's really engaged, and we want to keep you engaged. We want you to be DMing us. We want you to be hanging out with us when we go to these events. We want to pay you back essentially for supporting us. And this is the model that I think is really revolutionary and game-changing in the world of journalism is, you know, we're essentially working for tips. You know, it's almost like it's a entirely commission-based fee model, whereas, you know, the majority of the world, the way that they do journalism and podcasting and content creation is they get their money from the CIA. They get their money from advertisers, and they don't really have to hustle to take care of their audience. And I think it's time for better standards. It's time for people to demand a better product. And it's time for us to essentially help create that market, grow it, and that's really one of the revolutionary ways that we can change the world, you know, because if we set the bar higher and we give individuals a taste of something better, they're not going to want to go back and consume the toilet water that comes out of CIA controlled media. They're going to get tired of the same old podcast. And just like the lack of creativity from individuals that probably should be working at Disney. So there's kind of a symbiotic relationship between us and our audience. We only grow as much as we can convince our audience to support us. And if we ever go off the rails, there's kind of an accountability function there where we'll get hammered. You know, we won't be able to support or afford cigarette money if we go off the weeds and we start preaching compliance and NGU and asking everybody what their price target is for Bitcoin this cycle. If we just stoop to the levels of forgetting what this whole movement is about, we'll just cease to exist, or we'll become super gay and take sponsorship money and start working for the CIA. And it just like completely kills our credibility. So this is why I set up the Bugle this way, is because it's a check on ourselves. We've built accountability functions in our newsroom to prevent us from being co-opted. And you guys are a big part of that. You're a huge part of that. And so if you believe in it, I thank you. Thank you for supporting us. This is going to be a big year. I'm excited for about 2025. I'll admit, I got really tired at the end of the year. My joints were just really aching. You know, there's only so many characters you can type on a typewriter before your fingers fall off. Fortunately, I still have all my fingers. They didn't fall off, but they got pretty close to it. But I took some rest and relaxation over the holidays, got recharged, ready to grind. Because you don't change the world by being lazy. You don't shift the entire media apparatus by being mediocre. The Bugle is the Bitcoin standard of news. And we're gonna carry that that banner proudly. And we're gonna be doing some really, really cool things. I'm not gonna give you too many what's the word? Sneak peeks into what we're gonna be doing yet. Probably do more of that when Rod comes back next week. But what I will tell you is this is an announcement of many announcements to come in the future. We will have many groundbreaking and important announcements going forward. But yeah, this show is getting a little bit long. Put a lot of time into it. And it might be time to wrap up. I think it's time to wrap up. So I will just end the episode with a few words of wisdom. Noncompliance is a human right. I'm not talking about just breaking rules for the sake of breaking rules, or especially when it comes to hurting people. But never, never can we allow one entity to have a monopoly on noncompliance. And the way that we break that monopoly is individuals use their brains. It's a dying skill set. A lot of people have forgotten or have never even learned how to do it. And so if you never learned how to think, hopefully we can teach you. And hopefully our listeners can teach you. And hopefully you'll start listening to 40 hours of Bitcoin podcasts a week, and your entire life will be transformed. And you'll lose any appetite that you ever had to work for the CIA, to work for the intelligence agency, to support global domination of the world through the use of Tether. That you'll create a market of people buying and selling products in Bitcoin. That people will aspire for more than just living lives of servitude to psychopaths and people that hang out at Epstein Island and Diddy parties and launch wars. That's my hope. And that's what I'm committed to doing. We're going to change the world. We are changing. We are the victors. We're writing history right now. We're determining the future. And we have the ability to do that because we're using this technology that protects noncompliance. So we have to protect the right to be non-compliant at all costs. And there were some casualties, some non-compliant individuals, or I wouldn't even argue that they were non-compliant, but they were working to protect non-compliance, that we have to remember, you know, and support at all costs. So I want to thank the Samurai Wallet guys for all they're doing. I want to thank Bitcoin Policy Institute, even though I disagree with a lot of their tactics. They've been running p2prights.org, which we've been a donor to, consistent donor to, essentially funding the defense of individuals' rights to be non-compliant. And it's huge. And without that type of energy, you probably wouldn't even be able to custody Bitcoin. The state would make it so that the only way that you could interact with Bitcoin is buying MicroStrategy stock on Liquid. And do you really want that? Do you want that to be your future, or you're a MicroStrategy stockholder, but you can't actually own and transact in Bitcoin? You can transact in Tether and use the blockchain, or a blockchain. I don't think so. I don't think that's the future you want. That sure as hell isn't the future that I want. And we're going to make sure that future doesn't come. Anyways, I want to thank you for tuning in to this broadcast. And the past year was incredible. Next year will be incredible. And it's all because of you. So thank you.
Servitude is not exciting because it means self-denial. You can't buy satisfaction in the store aisle. Altruism is a tool to pull the wool over your eyes. Rejecting it will allow you to rise. Try.
within yourself, you can use your brain. Making means and telling the truth will keep you sane. The problem lies inside each and every one of you. And inside you also lies the answer. There is a lot you can do, but it requires action.